Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And they're back together again. Doug and Jess, we'll get to them in just a moment. But what do you say we take the 10th caller right now to kick off the festivities? That person is going to win a $25 gift certificate from the good folks out in Wexford, Sorgals, 412-922-1020, looking for caller number 10. Now, how do you get a hold of Doug and Jess? Simple, 866-391-1020. So here they are, Doug Oster, EverybodyGardens.com, and Jessica Walliser.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
No frost yet?
It is.
What is going on?
I know.
It was warm this morning. Did you turn your heat on this morning in your car?
I did, but then I turned it off because I realized how warm it was.
I did, too. Yeah. I wore a jacket and I went out of the house and I was like, I don't even need a jacket. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
That weather forecast, 70 next week. I don't remember going this far without at least, you know, an early frost and then a bounce back, but
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been good,
though.
Some
people have probably got a frost, though, somewhere down the line.
It's that point, though, where now I'm thinking when it comes, it's going to come, and it's going to be, like, super cold, and then I'm going to wish I had done more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So all my containers are still. I've moved, like, I have some cacti and a big banana tree and Brugmansia and some really tender plants that were in pots that I have moved in, but I'm hesitant to tear apart the other ones because everything is still in bloom and it's beautiful.
I know, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to, one day you're going to be running out there in your PJs.
Exactly.
Trying to drag everything in and save what you can. And it's the same thing for me every year, but I'm just enjoying the long season.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know, when you plant cool weather crops in the garden and it goes like this, you look like a genius, and it's all Mother Nature. My arugula, my Swiss chard, kale, tatsoi, mustard greens, all that stuff, it's not even needed any protection. I haven't closed the cold frames yet.
Yeah.
You know, and we're at the end of October.
I'm in the same situation, and they're all putting on new growth. So my kale plants just keep getting bigger and better and more beautiful, which is good because I need them for a photo shoot. But I have been hesitating to harvest them because I need them for that. But they're just so big and lovely right now with this cold, gorgeous cold weather. And I planted that spinach that you gave me.
Okay.
Is yours doing good?
Yeah, yeah. I did mine actually for a video in a giant container called a root pouch. These root pouches are made out of recycled water bottles. And so, you know, most of them are 10, 15 gallons. So they have a 200-gallon one.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, that'd be kind of, and it's like, oh, it's $30 or something, $35. I was like, that'd be kind of fun to fill that up with pit moss and plant it, you know. So on the inside, I put one of those red boar kales.
Mm-hmm.
Around that, the spinach, arugula, lettuce, some other stuff. And then in the very, for this kind of spiller thing, pansies.
Nice.
So it was fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that spinach is doing good because it was getting hot enough where I was worried about some of my cool weather crops that were still in flats.
Yeah.
Like they could bolt. Yeah. You know, that's also the risk you take.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get a few more weeks, another week or two that we can keep harvesting, and then we'll have to protect everything and maybe we'll get a little more.
I still have my garlic to plant. Do you need garlic?
I do not need garlic.
All right, I still need garlic to plant and to. Every year I go around and deliver my garlic to all my friends.
You're like the garlic claws.
It's like yeah, little Johnny Garlic Seed.
There you go.
So hey, I'm going to be out and about today from 12 to 3. I'm going to be at Han Nursery as a personal shopper. I do this once a year and I love it. There are so many deals there, and plus they're putting all sorts of stuff on sale because I'm coming, but I'm also going to give away free seeds and pansies. But they have garlic on sale to plant, Revita, our favorite fertilizer. It's already cheap. I can't believe they're putting it on sale. Pit moss, organic preen is 50% off, winter rye, and lots of other stuff. Today from 12 to 3 at Han. Come by. I'll take you through the nursery. I'll show you some cool plants and some great deals.
Good deals are always a good thing.
So, what else is going on in the garden?
Well, you know, we were talking before we came on air here about feeling like you have a lot to do, but yet we don't have that frost. But one of the things that I know we need to be keeping up with are the leaves. Now, leave the leaves in your garden beds. Leave the leaves. This is really important. It is overwintering habitat for lots of...
Even
in your case, in your garden beds, I mean, these plants have evolved to come up through leaf litter. You have woodland plants planted in your beds. That's what they do, right? On your lawn, however, if you have lawn, you can't leave big mats of leaves on your lawn because they will kill your lawn over the winter. So this is where a mulching mower, if you've got a lawn mower and you've purchased it in recent years, it probably has the ability to mulch those leaves, which basically means it holds them in the deck and chops them in really, really tiny pieces before it redistributes them on the lawn. And then they break down really fast, the soil microbes digest them, and they release nutrients into your lawn, and they actually can provide quite a bit of nutrition for your turf grass. So, but you can't have, you know, 5 inches of leaves on your lawn and get them with the mulching mower. You have to do it more frequently, sort of as they, you know, as they fall, you get a light layer, then you use the mulching mower. Then the more fall and you get a mulching, you can't wait till they're all down like you do with raking. So that's something definitely to keep up with. You know, obviously the less lawn you have, the better. Get some more flower beds in, but on your lawn, you do have to get rid of those leaves.
And I was looking at my driveway today and just all covered in...
You've got a lot of leaves.
Wet oak leaves. Wah, wah. That's the worst job. I hate it.
You need a snow plow.
I have one.
Snow plow them down the end of the driveway into a big pile.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I still have to patch the driveway. My driveway is my garden when there finally is a frost.
Your driveway is? I don't get it.
It's just, I got to be always, it's either getting snow off it or patching it.
Okay,
or it's
I gotcha.
Very busy. Yeah. Busy taking care of a long driveway with a switchback in it so I can get all the garden supplies up. I've got a ton of stuff left to plant.
It doesn't matter that you need to get the groceries up. You just need your garden supplies
up. Right, I need my plants. But I've got lots of stuff sitting there to plant. Somebody gave me a goji berry shrub, which I have in a nursery bed. I turned one bed in my vegetable garden to a nursery bed now. I'm telling you, I don't know. It's like converting your lawn to to garden flower beds. My vegetable garden is being turned into a flower garden. I'm putting shrubs in there to keep. You know, it's the only place I have where the deer can't get to anything. So
maybe you need to like build another garden with a little fence so that you have another deer-proof area.
I'm too old for that. I'm not building. Yeah. I'm not building anything new. that's over.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Nothing new. But it's going to be a nice day to just be out in the garden. I can't believe all that stuff's out there. Do you still have tomatoes out there?
No, No, I haven't had them for a while. We had a, you know, groundhog issue and a chipmunk issue and deer have been getting in.
One real quick thing that I always do is if you do have tomatoes left, it does get cold, is before the frost hits, just pull those tomatoes off, put them in a bag with an apple. Now, I've always heard that ethylene gas you get from the apple, but I wonder if you just put the tomatoes in there, don't they produce their own, wouldn't they just ripen on their own?
The action of the ripening process is what releases the ethylene gas. So if the tomatoes aren't ripening, they're not releasing that gas.
But if they've
started to have a little blush color on them, yes, that would help. But if they're pure green, they're not making enough of their own ethylene to really hasten that ripening process. That's why a banana or an apple is a good idea.
Ethylene, get in here.
866-391-1020. We've got room for you. Doug and Jess would love to talk to you. Don't forget, next hour, it is the Coons Cooking Hour. Joe and Frank Dantisi, then Heffron Tillage and Your Money and You, followed up by the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show at 11 a.m. Rob Pratt Sunday, KDK Radio. All right, we're back. The Organic Garden. Before we go to the phones, here's Jessica.
Yes. What in the heck is a blue banana?
Okay, so we had a caller call in, and I'm actually glad they did. They couldn't hang on the line. They had somewhere they had to be, but they wanted us to talk about these blue bananas. So you might have seen them on social media. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff about rainbow tomatoes and blue, bright blue roses and things like that. And most of them are a hoax, and they're not true. However, there is a banana called Java Blue that is a variety of real banana that the fruits, when they ripen, they do have a blue cast to them. Now, they're not like electric blue or royal blue, but they sort of have a soft blue cast to them. And their flavor is reported to be like vanilla ice cream. So they're supposed to be very flavorful. They've become sort of like a you know, they're all over social media. So people are, you know, wanting to get them and grow them.
How did I miss it?
I can't believe you missed it. And you're on social media all the time.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my own feed, though.
Right. There you go. Yeah. So what's interesting is the banana that I grow is red Abyssinian banana. It's primarily an ornamental banana, but it has these big, beautiful red leaves. It's an absolute, I have one right by the front door, and it's just a gorgeous plant. And so banana trees are that big, bold, tropical look. This blue Java banana is not hardy here. It's only hardy zone 8 and south. So it's definitely not hardy here, but you could grow it like I grow my red Abyssinian, which is in a big patio pot, and then I drag it into the garage for the winter. The one in the front yard is actually planted in the ground, but I dig it up in the fall and put it in a big bucket and drag the bucket into the garage for the winter. So you can do that with this Java Blue banana as well. The Java Blue is self-fertile. So that means you only need one plant. And if you ever get the plant to be mature enough to bloom, which is pretty rare, but you could do it, you will get fruit with only one plant. But as always with fruit, if you have, you know, most fruits, if you have a pollination partner, even if they are self-fertile, you're going to get better fruit set that way. So you probably want to have two or more plants as well. But it would be, unless you had a greenhouse to overwinter it in, it would be very hard to get this plant to fruit here in Pennsylvania, simply because we don't have a long enough growing season for it. But if you had a conservatory or greenhouse or just a really well-lit area in the house, you might get it to develop.
A lot of times when something is such a challenge and becomes such a popular thing, that's why people will do it.
But exactly. It's like, you want to try it.
Her wrong.
I'm going to do it.
I'm
right.
I'm going to have bananas. 10 right. years later, you get this little itty bitty banana. Right. Not even blue.
Right. I have a feeling, though, within a couple of years, we're probably going to start to see blue bananas in grocery stores and things like that, because I think they're, you know, they're probably, people are planting them on a large scale as well, just to have a novelty thing to sell. So, but apparently they taste really good.
Here's Jim and Mercer up for Doug and Jess on the Organic Gardeners. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hello.
Hey.
I planted a couple Cleveland pear trees a few years ago in my front yard, and I'm getting all these like trees like growing up around the base of the trees now, and they look more like a bush. And I was just wondering, how could you get rid of those?
Yeah, so those are water sprouts, and this is this is one of the negatives, one of actually a surprisingly large number of negatives that have to do with the Cleveland pear. this was a tree that was touted as being sort of the answer for street trees. And what has happened is people are really seeing its faults. They have what are called weak crotches, which is where the plant's trunk splits, is a very weak spot. And a lot of times in high winds or heavy snow, that will crack and you'll lose whole branches off of the Cleveland pear. So it's a tree that, while it was touted as being a really great tree, it definitely has some downsides. It's actually also the birds will spread the seeds and it's becoming invasive in some states. That what you're experiencing is water sprouts and suckering from the bottom of the plant. It will do that as well. You just have to keep removing them. I mean, you have to prune them out. There's really no way to get the plant to stop doing that.
You know, and up there...
Can you cut them anytime?
Yes, you can cut them off anytime.
Slippery Rock... there's a real bad fire blight on Cleveland pears. They're replacing all their Cleveland pears with other plants. The Slippery Rock University is doing that. So that's something to watch for, too, since that's your area.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just cut them off. And I didn't want to, like, kill the tree. I mean, it looks okay, but, I mean, it's starting to more look like a bush now on the bottom instead of like a tree, you know, no... distinct trunk there, you know, with all these things growing up around the bottom.
Yeah, you're going to want to prune those off. And the one other thing I would caution you with is if you have ever used your pruning shears on a plant that had fire blight, you definitely want to sterilize them before you use them to prune off those suckers, because this plant is so prone to fire blight. You know, you don't want to accidentally introduce that pathogen into the plant.
I guess I chose the wrong kind of trees to plant.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because...
You're not alone.
You are not alone. These trees are everywhere.
It was a big deal. And,
yeah.
And even I was at a new development the other day. I did a garden consult. And driving in, freshly planted, 15 Cleveland pears. You know, again, they look beautiful, but they have so many weaknesses, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, I'll cut them off and see how I go from there. Thanks for the information.
You betcha. And it's always be the bearer of great news on a Sunday morning, right? You know, and we've talked about that tree with the guys from Davy Tree a lot, those arborists. And they see many of them that are split down the trunk after storm damage and things like that. And they just usually recommend removing the tree and replacing it with another small flowering tree, because there are so many great small flowering trees out there that don't have the weaknesses of the Cleveland pear or Bradford pear. I mean, they're just better choices out there. But that's hard when you've got one that's already 12, 15 feet tall to say. And right
it blooms,
now it looks
when it
great.
Blooms, it's a beauty.
They're
There's
not,
no doubt
it
about
is.
It.
You know, they're not my favorites, though, when they bloom, because the blooms are a little stinky.
I know.
They smell so hot, but what are you going to do?
The idea was right. You know, okay, you're going to have a tough street tree, but it didn't turn out that way.
And it's interesting timing that he has, too, because... my latest article for Savvy Gardening for my website, Savvy Gardening, is all about flowering trees. And there's 21 great varieties that I list there of trees that most of them will do really well here in Western Pennsylvania. So if you're looking for new small flowering trees to plant in your landscape, you might want to check that out.
Well, real quick, just throw one out that might be a little bit unusual that might be a cool thing.
Well, if you want a replacement, definitely for the Bradford pear, you want to do a service berry, because service berries are wonderful native trees that also have great berries as well.
All right, 866-391-1020. Doug and Jess would love to hear from you. We're going to be talking to Christine in New Kensington when we get back. But right now, we're 3 minutes away from the latest news with Melinda Roeder as Rob Pratt Sunday continues. Next hour, Coon's Cooking Hour, Joan Frank Dentisi, KDKA Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's, 412-922-1020, 412-922-1020. Here's Christine, as promised, in New Kensington for Doug and Jess, KDK Radio. Hi, Christine. Good morning.
Good morning. Quick question. Pet moss or peat moss? Is there a difference?
A big difference. Pit moss is something Pit moss is something that's made locally from recycled newspapers. Uses two-thirds less water than a normal conventional growing medium, and that's what it is. It's more of a growing medium. Pit moss is something. I mean, peat moss. Now you got me confused. Peat moss is something completely different.
So peat moss is harvested out of a peat bog, which is usually sort of like a marshy area where sphagnum peat moss grows in large, deep layers, and then it is harvested out of there. Some people, you know, question whether or not it's a sustainable practice. So if you're looking for an alternative to peat moss, something like pit moss would be an alternative to it.
What do you use peat moss for?
I use peat moss for my potting soil, and I still do use it. I make my own potting soil, and I use peat moss. I've used core fiber, which is fiber from coconut husks. So it's a bit more sustainable. You know, there's no argument about whether or not it's sustainable or not, because you know, we always have this coconut fiber around just from all the coconuts that we eat.
I just don't use it. It's not because it's not sustainable. I just don't use it in the garden.
If you use potting soil, though, you're using peat moss, because most potting soils have peat moss.
I'm basically using the pit moss.
Okay, so you use the pit moss for all your containers then instead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, so that's the difference.
Where can I get pit moss?
Oh, you can get it all over the place. A lot of nurseries have it. A lot of nurseries have actually... greenhouses have converted to pit moss just because of the water, and again, okay. It's a sustainable product. So, I mean,
okay,
what area are you in again?
New Kensington.
New Ken. So up there, maybe one of the True Values up there would carry it. Agway. Yeah, maybe Agway has it too. Just poke around a little bit, give a couple calls. You'll find it.
All right, here's Gene in Munhall for Doug and Jess. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. How you doing?
I'm fine. I just have a quick question about lilies of the valley.
I love lily of the valley.
Yes, I do too. However, about 40 years ago, my daughter gave me a few sprigs, and they have just gone crazy. I don't know how to handle them.
Here's what you do. When they're blooming, just say, man, that looks great.
That is not the answer she's looking for.
Just let them go. It's going to be so hard to get rid of
them. No, you don't listen to him. You go on. Tell me what they're doing in the garden. They're taking over everything?
No, there's just one area as I go into my back porch. And as I say, they're just so thick. And they don't put out many blooms anymore. You know, they've got leaves all over the place, but they're not very many of these cute little smelly bills.
Yeah, so that's what happens. You know, 40 years is a long time to have that plant and not have divided it. So when you, in the spring, you can go in there with a pitchfork. You could actually even do it now if you wanted to. Go in there with a pitchfork and sort of lift some of them out. Dividing for most perennial plants, including ground covers, ones that sort of spread and form a mat like Lily of the Valley, division is really important to keep the plants from getting crowded. Because when they get crowded, that's exactly what you see. You see reduced flowering. And the whole reason we grow Lily of the Valley is for those beautiful, lovely blooms.
Right.
I would do it differently. I would just throw some flower tone down on them in the spring and hope they'd start blooming. That sounds like a lot of work, but that's probably the right way to do it, Jessica.
Okay.
But I just would probably throw some flower tone down and hope they would bloom.
I'll try it. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. See all these differences between Doug and I, and yet in the gardening world, let's not go that far. In the gardening world, there's a million different ways to do things. Like for me, dividing is the answer. I would get in there and I would do the work and I would divide it. And then I would have another 40 years worth of beautiful blooms on those plants.
They just don't need much. You know, the only reason I say that is because
But it isn't needing much. If through 40 years, you're only dividing
one
time.
When I see the ones that are in my rocky woodlands that have been there since who knows when, 40s, and they're blooming pretty good, I think, maybe... just throw some flower tone down, but I know that if you cut them up, they're going to do better, but that sounds like a lot of work for her, that's all. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
So if you two would divorce, hypothetically, who would get, the garlic, who would get the tomatoes?
I would just like to clarify that divorce means only on the radio. We're not married in real life.
No.
We're just going to clarify that.
I think people
that.
Get that.
People don't. I've got questions sometimes about that.
Those people need to get
that.
A life. All right, 866-391-1020. Let's go to Melissa. She's up next in Allison Park. How you doing, Melissa? Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How you doing today?
We're doing great. How about you?
I've got three questions for you. Number one, my husband has had horrible problems with his garden, and a friend told him to put calcium on it, which did wonders. I also bought him some bee houses. He's He's got two of them. Do I bring them in for the winter or leave them sit outside?
Okay, so
what's the third question?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's my number one.
Okay. Okay.
There's three different things I'm going to talk to.
Gotcha. So the bee houses, are they the little round tubes or are they a wooden block with holes drilled in?
Little round tubes.
Little round tubes. Okay. So they're the ones that usually take shelter in those little round tubes are the orchard mason bees. And right now they are in their little cocoons in there. Now, I know lots of people who bring them inside and put them in the refrigerator. They need cold temperatures because you don't want them to come out. You want them to stay in there. And the reason people do that is to protect them from predators like woodpeckers and things like that. So okay. If you wanted to do that, you could, but you have to put the tubes in the refrigerator to keep them cold. I don't on mine. I just leave mine outdoors and let them, you know, come out when they're ready to come out. And if the woodpeckers get them, I put, you know, the circle of life, right? And then as far as the calcium on the garden is concerned, you know, typically our soils here in Western Pennsylvania have adequate amounts of calcium. Calcium deficiency is not an issue in our world. But what is an issue is the pH of our soils. We naturally have slightly acidic soils, which can inhibit and restrict the release of certain nutrients and the availability of certain nutrients in the soil. So more than adding calcium, it goes back to testing the pH of your soil. Because if you have that's a reason why farmers will always add lime, because lime will, you know, change and correct the pH of that soil. But it's important that you get a soil test so that you know how much lime to add. And some people add calcitic lime, which also adds calcium to the soil. So if that's what your husband added, if he added calcitic lime to add that calcium to the soil, the part that did the garden good was actually the alteration of the pH and the correction of the pH, even more so than the addition of that of the actual calcium.
There's just nothing more important than getting that soil test and getting the scientific number on where the pH is and the scientific formula on how to make it the pH better, to make it more neutral.
Okay. Well, we've got green peppers. I don't know if it's because we bought them from Janoski's or what, but my husband planted them. I've got like 10 out there that are still growing.
Great. Yeah, it was an excellent year for peppers this year.
And as I turned around when we were at Janoski's, I saw Brussels sprouts plants. I said, Andrew, do you have room for a couple of Brussels sprouts plants? And he said, sure. We planted them. I have never grown Brussels sprouts before, and I am fascinated by how they're, but they're not very big. How do you go about picking them? Is there a good time?
Yeah, so Brussels sprouts you want to leave until we get a frost or two, because that will actually sweeten them. And even if the sprouts are small, you know, they're not real big sprouts, they're still going to be super delicious. I love homegrown Brussels sprouts.
And we have to get to the rest of her questions after the break.
All right, we'll take a break. Stay with us. More to come in a moment.
All right, Melissa, we got to do this quick. Mrs. Know-It-All is waiting in the wings, so give us your next questions and we'll answer them the best we can.
The last one I wanted to ask you, I'm standing at my window staring out at a beautiful three maple trees. People come to my house and say, oh, what a beautiful tree. It's three trees my dad planted 44 years ago, very close together. The dropping area around it, I've got roots coming up like crazy now, and it's driving me crazy. Can I cover them over with dirt and grass seed a little bit so that there's some semblance to
I mean, you could, but then you're going to have the same problem again in 5-10 years.
I'll do it again.
Well, what you don't want to do is bury those roots too deep, because what that does is cuts off the oxygen supply to the roots. And when you have that, you're going to smother the tree roots and they're going to suffer. You're much better off getting rid of the grass under those trees and putting down a layer of shredded bark mulch and just having a nice bark mulch bed under there. And if you want some color, then put some containers full of annuals under there. That's really the best way to handle those roots that are up above the soil.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber, our horticulturist, gardener, and garden goddess. How are you, Denise?
Good. I'm done in the garden. I actually have, you know, the plants like you. My vegetable garden has become a perennial and shrub garden for the winter. But, you know, that's what happens. But I've not seen the blue banana. I've fortunately missed that, I think. It's like blue poinsettias. But for those of you that don't know, Better Homes and Gardens had a contest this year for for the best front yard in America. And a friend of mine, Kevin Prowl, actually won the contest, and he lives in New Kensington, and he grows all kind of tropicals. They're unbelievable. You know, he has bananas, he has windmill palms, he has phormium, he has all this stuff growing in his front yard, and you can actually just drive by and stop at the house and knock and ask him about it. It's on Victoria Avenue in New Kensington, but it's just something great to see. Now, he does protect a lot of this stuff. He'll be doing that soon because it looks like we're going to have a frost probably Thursday or Friday, which I'm actually waiting for. There's a few things I've been waiting for the frost to kill. But you can grow tropicals here. Some you've got to bring in. Musa Bajou, which is the hardy banana, it produces bananas if you have 18 months of warm weather. But guess what? The bananas are inedible anyhow, so why worry about it? Enjoy the foliage.
That's what I do with my red Abyssinian bananas. I mean, I grow them just, you know, obviously that's an ornamental variety, but I just love the tropical look of that foliage. And I saw that article about that garden in New Kensington.
Cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he does all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I saw a little video they interviewed with him, too, and I thought that was really, really neat.
So come on out today. From 12 to 3, come see me at Han Nursery. I'm going to be your personal shopper. I'll take you through the nursery.
Does that mean you're paying?
Me?
Well, you're my personal shopper.
Yeah, I'm the cheapest man on the planet. I'm not paying for anything. I'm actually giving you stuff, giving away seeds, giving some pansies away.
He's actually charging them to shop.
Well, I work for tips. No, it won't cost you a penny except what you got to buy there. I'm your free personal shopper, not going to pay the bill, but come on down to Han today, 12 to 3 in Ross.
How's that work? Just I come over and say, Doug, just go get me this.
They'll say, like, you know, I have this spot where it's sunny in the morning and shady in the afternoon, and I want a shrub for there. I don't want it to get too big. I'll say, well, here's a couple ideas.
You may be busy today.
I hope so.
Yeah, you're
it's going to be fun.
All right, guys, take us home.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
It is the incredible talent of Doug Oster, everybodygardens.com, Jessica Wallace, you're both from the amazing brand that is the Tribune Review. They're back with you every Sunday from 7 until 8. It is the organic gardeners. Now, stay tuned because, Melinda Roeder's got your news at 8 coming up in just a couple of moments. And then it is another edition of the Coons Cooking Hour with Joe and Frank Dantisi on KDKA. Then Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You. Then it's the Coons Market, Black and Gold Sunday Show, starting at 11. All still to come today on Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA Radio.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.